All right, Psalm 117 be our starting place this morning. Book of Psalms, number 117. We've been talking all summer long about matters of family and relationships. And this just some basic truth from the Word of God that apply to anybody, single, married, 30 grandkids, whatever the case might be. The Bible says in Psalm 117, "Praise, O praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise Him, all ye people." So, Old Testament times, God chose one nation for special covenant blessings, the nation of Israel. That certainly doesn't mean God was ever the God of just that one nation. Here we are way back in David's time, and he says, "Praise Him, all nations." But then verse 2, "For His merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord." So before you were ever saved, God was mercifully kind to you. And you are saved, you got saved because God was mercifully kind to you. And every blessing you enjoy today is because God is mercifully kind to you. And we would all say amen to that. We would all rejoice in that. We would all thank God for His merciful kindness. And then struggle so to make and keep friends. Struggle so to get in a church and stay there. Struggle so in our family lives, because for some reason we don't see the importance of merciful kindness. We say, "I'm following the Lord. I preach the Word of God." Okay. "I follow the Lord. I tell people about Jesus." Okay. "I follow the Lord. I don't smoke and drink and cuss and all those things anymore." Okay. How about, "I follow the Lord. I am mercifully kind." This society is so arrogant, so hard, so self-centered. You don't see much kindness anymore. And it ought to be automatic for a child of God to be kind. And so we're going to talk about that during the Sunday school hour this morning. We'll pray. I'll pray long enough for you to slip out if you don't want to hear about this. But seemed to me like a vital matter of importance. Father, help us this morning, please, as we study Your Word. Help our Sunday school teachers, Lord. Thank You for all these boys and girls that have come with their parents and grandparents and all the ones coming in on the bands today. Please, Father, have Your way in their lives. Teach them something that'll be hidden deep in their hearts and never, ever get away. And Lord, help us here in the auditorium this morning to learn from Your Word. And we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So God is merciful in His kindness, and it's not just verse 2. Verse 5 is great toward us. It's like God is kind, but He's more kind than we have any right to expect. He's certainly more kind than we deserve, and thank the Lord for it. Look in Titus chapter number 3. Let's go there, New Testament. Titus chapter number 3. We'll talk about the before and the after. Titus chapter 3 and verse number 1. I know all of us have had a before Christ in our life, B.C., but I hope you've had an A.D. in your life, after deliverance. And so verse number 1 says, "Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish." Well, we're not supposed to be anymore, but we were. "And disobedient, and deceived, and serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another." That's how God characterizes the lives of people who don't know Jesus Christ. And that's a pretty accurate summary. "But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost." So look at this list again in verse number 3. We were foolish and God was kind. We were disobedient and God was kind. We were deceived and God was kind. We were serving divers lusts and pleasures. God was kind. We were living in malice and envy. God was kind. We were hateful. God was kind. We were hating one another. And God was kind. He says, you're saved because I was kind. I didn't treat you in the way that your actions deserved. I certainly didn't give you what you had coming. And this idea that, why'd you talk to him that way? Did you hear what he said to me? Why did you treat her like that? Don't you know what she did? That has nothing to do with God. Nothing to do with Jesus Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit of God. If the Lord had said, look at how they act, we'd all be in hell. Look at what they've done. We'd be burning right now in a fiery pit. But the Lord, he looked upon all of our sin and all of our disobedience, and his motivation, the influence upon his heart and mind, was not what I had done, but was the kindness that resided within him. So if you have a friend, at some point in your friendship, your friend has not acted in accord with your wishes. If you're in a relationship, a marriage, or you're raising children, or you're a child being raised, the people in your life have not always acted in accord with your wishes and your desires. There's supposed to be this, I hate to use the word higher power because that sounds like we're leaving God out. There's supposed to be this power of God within us that is the character of Christ himself that allows me to treat others not in response to their conduct, but as a channel of God's conduct through me. Amen. So I was reading this morning for the who knows how many thousandth time about the conversion of Saul of Tarsus. And we know the story. This man is breathing out threatenings and slaughter against God's church, and he's persecuting Christians and he's jailing Christians, and some of them he's had put to death. And Jesus Christ the Lord appears to him for the purpose of and with the desire to save his soul. You got any kids? What if someone had murdered them? How would you feel toward them? Do you have loved ones? What if someone hauled them away and tortured them? What would you want to happen to them? And Jesus Christ is watching this man Saul to kill God's children. And in his heart, he said, maybe if I appeared to him brighter than the noonday sun, maybe that would get his attention and I could save his soul. You know what that is? That's the kindness and love of God toward the most undeserving of sinners. And so we rejoice in that. Praise the Lord. You know what? Listen, this is how I used to live, and this is what I used to do, and these are the sins that I committed. Thank God he was so merciful. Thank God he was kind to me after all of that. How are you and so-and-so getting along? Oh, we don't get along anymore. Well, why not? Well, he said something one day, and... Well, are you two still together? Oh, no, she did something, and... Well, wait a minute. Kindness is huge. It really is. And who couldn't be kind to someone who's treating you right? Who couldn't be kind to someone who's doing everything the way you wanted it done? But the kindness and love of God, that supersedes the actions of the other person. Look in Romans chapter number 10. Let's go there. Romans the 10th chapter. I'm sorry, 12th chapter. Romans chapter 12. And these verses we know. But these verses are the preamble to the Constitution, if you will. Romans 12 through 16 is going to tell saved people how God expects them to live. And he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Okay, those are great verses, powerful verses. People memorize them, put them on wall plaques and all of that. But then the Lord says, and this is what I mean. Verse 10. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. You know what that might require? Sacrifice. Present your bodies a living sacrifice to God. Well, here I am, Lord. Here I am. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Here it is, a living sacrifice. The Lord says, okay, that fellow over there, I want you to be kind to him. Well, not him. You don't know what he did to me. Sacrifice. I want you to go home and I want you to be kind. You don't know how those people treat me. Living sacrifice. See, what's conformed to the world, verse number 2, it's acting like the world acts. How does the world act? If you're nice to me, I'm nice to you. If you're good to me, I'm good to you. If you treat me the way I want to be treated, I'll treat you the way you want to be treated. That's the world. The Lord says, I want you to sacrifice yourself to my perfect will so that you can conduct yourself toward others the way I conduct myself toward you. And that might take some sacrifice. You might just have to treat people well who haven't treated you well. You might just have to be gracious and merciful toward people who have no grace and have no mercy. What is that? That's God's Holy Spirit lifting you above you, lifting you above the ways of the world and enabling you to be Christ-like. How about that? You know, you split churches, save people. Lost people aren't there. You who wrecks families, members of the family. So it's not enough to be saved. It's not enough to be saved and married or saved and have children. We got to get to a place where Christ has some controlling influence over us. And he is kind. Look in Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians 4. There's a default position. There's a move that we have to make. Ephesians 4, and we covered these verses a few weeks ago, but here they are again. Verse number 20, you've not so learned Christ. If so be you've heard Him, have you heard Christ? You heard the Word of God? And have been taught by Him, bless God, I'm in a church that teaches the Bible. Okay, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So, when we were the old man, when we were unsaved, there was a way that we responded to a store clerk who didn't treat us properly, to another driver who didn't drive properly, to another person who didn't treat us properly. There was a way that we responded, and it was, how dare you treat me like that? You are now going to receive the worst that I'm legally allowed to offer. If I could get away with it, even more than that. But now Christ is supposed to be the governing influence of my life, not my old man. So he takes spit in his face. He takes blows to his cheeks. He takes a crown of thorns to his brow. They strip him of his clothes and humiliate him. They beat him within an inch of his life and then nail him to a cross to die and mock and ridicule him while he's doing so. And he rises from the dead and offers every one of them eternal life and full pardon of their sins. their conduct didn't change who he was. Isn't that amazing? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What do you mean they know not what they do? Are you kidding? They didn't know they were spitting on him. They didn't know they were whipping him. They didn't know they were killing him. They didn't know they were mocking and blaspheming. Of course they knew what they were doing. You know what he said? Can we just kind of put the worst thing they've ever done in the best possible light and try to get them out of the mess they're in? It's pretty amazing. When the Holy Spirit fell in that first and second chapter of Acts, and the first group of believers poured forth into the streets and began to preach salvation by grace, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It'd be understandable if that happened in Rome, Athens, Alexandria. But in the very place where the Son of God had been crucified, to the very people who had called for his execution, you talk about kindness. The work of salvation began with the very people that nailed Christ to the cross. Pretty amazing. So when you come and then things get rough, and if things get rough, I'll see you, and you come see me, and I'll come see you, and we'll do what we can. But when you say, before you talk to me about forgiveness, before you talk to me about reconciliation, before you talk to me about how I'm supposed to act, let me tell you what this person did. And the Lord says, you really want to do it that way? You really want to base relationships on how you were treated by sinners? Or you want to base them on how you were treated by me? Let me show you. Look at verse number 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. The world uses the Word of God every single day. They just hate God and they hate the Bible, and their hearts are so dirty. How many times have you heard somebody say, for Christ's sake? You know where that phrase is from? It's from the reason God forgave us of our sins. What kind of fool do you have to be to turn that into a curse word? That's pretty dark. Pretty dark. So here's the situation. For the sake of Jesus Christ, God, who could have been bitter against me. Is that fair?
Yes, sir.
God, who could have exercised wrath toward me, who certainly could have been angry with me, who certainly could have held forth malice against me, God instead opted to be kind toward me and to forgive me for the sake of Jesus Christ. God the Father, to honor the sacrifice of His Son, put aside the feelings he could have justly and righteously had toward me in order to put me in a position where his Son, Jesus Christ, could be rewarded for his sacrifice, forgive my sins, and save my soul. Isn't that wonderful? And so in Ephesians 4, the Lord says, okay, sit down. Just sit down for a minute. I understand you have every right to be bitter. I understand you have a good reason to be angry. I understand if you want to speak evil of that person, they've given you lots of ammunition. But I'm asking you, for Christ's sake, to treat them as I have treated you. To show your family and to show your neighbors and to show the world that you're capable of rising to a higher level of relationships than they are. that you have something given you by God that allows you to be kind to people who don't deserve it. Well, I don't know how to do that. Well, just get a better grip on what God has done for you. You know, we laugh, you know, how you doing? Better than I deserve. But we act like I deserve better than this. Right? How you doing? Well, by the grace of God, I am what I am. But then we act like God hadn't been gracious to us. And so I'm just satisfied that none of us will ever be in a relationship where the other person always treats us properly. Which is odd because, you know, we always treat them properly. I mean, we're never the cause of anyone's unhappiness, but the people in our lives are often the cause of our unhappiness. And the Lord says, come on, let's do it this way. Instead of everything being even, let's do it the way our relationship works. I'm great, you not so much, and I treat you really, really good. And so you're in a relationship and you say, I'm doing everything I can, and the other person's just a total loser. And the Lord said, yeah, that's kind of how I see things from up here. But what have I done for you, and what could my Holy Spirit do for you? So the fruit of the Spirit is love, and the fruit of the Spirit is joy. And we point to other people and say, I can't love them because of them. And we point to things that people have done to us and say, I can't have joy because of that. And the Lord says, hey, up here, you can have love and joy because of me. And so somehow we've got to turn the controlling influence of our life away from how other people act and turn it on to how God has acted toward us. In verse number 30, I skipped over it. Let's go back there. Verse number 30. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. So when I'm put in a situation where someone has done me wrong, and I allow that to so control my life that I can't do them right, it grieves the Holy Spirit. Because He wanted me to allow His power to overrule my flesh. And I didn't let Him do that. Oh yeah, you didn't act right? Watch this. And I don't act right. And the Lord says, well, there we go. Two more people living like I don't exist. But when someone gets mistreated and the other person says, Lord, help me please to live like Christ in this situation, and the Holy Spirit enables you to be gracious and kind and merciful to people who absolutely don't deserve it, Holy Spirit is manifest in our lives. People want to see, and I understand this, they read the Gospels and they read the book of Acts, and people want to see miracles, they want to see the supernatural, and so they go to places where a man hits somebody on the forehead and they fall over backwards, and whoo, look at that, and where somebody speaks in gibberish, and they say, whoo, look at that, isn't that amazing, and You know what I find a lot more wow than a guy waving his coat at people and them falling over? Somebody getting treated like dirt and responding with kindness. I said, now there's a work of the Holy Ghost right there. You don't see that every day. Somebody taking grief and suffering wrongfully and responding in a Christian manner and with Christian character, you say, wow. Anybody can fall over backwards, but not many people can do that. And so let's allow the Holy Spirit to really do a great work in our lives. So, you know, I don't get treated any worse at home. I get treated worse at home than anywhere else. Let's say it this way. you're home more than you're anywhere else. And when you're home, everybody's kind of who they really are. You go to work and the boss is, you know how he is. But you don't say anything. Because there's a thing called a paycheck, and you want the paycheck, and the boss man, you know, he's got employees, and I'd get rid of every one of them, but nobody else will show up, so I got to keep the ones I got. And so we all just kind of make it work to make a living. But then we go home, and somehow this idea of I'm going to do what I got to do to make it work gets left in the car. Why not go home and make it work? Why not go home and do what you got to do? And that's where the Holy Spirit steps up in a big way if we'll allow Him. Luke chapter number 6, let's go there. Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. And start at verse number 31. As you would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. So here's how we like to use that verse. Do unto others as they have done unto you. But that's not what the Lord said. It's not how they treated you, it's how you wish they had treated you. How you want them to treat you. And so verse 32, for if you love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. Anybody can do that. You don't have to even have Christ to do that. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. Okay, so no God, no Jesus Christ, no Holy Spirit, and you can treat people in a good way who treat you in a good way. Easy enough. And if you lend to them of whom you hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners and receive as much again. We always stick money in that verse, but it's whatever you're giving to another. If you stop giving your love, your kindness, your energy, your service to another, if you don't feel you're being adequately compensated, that's how people live without God. But, 35, love your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward should be great, and ye should be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Now, same people, we're not supposed to have an enemies list. But if you live long enough, you're going to have some enemies. And the Lord says, I got a world full of enemies. Every unsaved person, the Bible says, is at enmity against God. They have set themselves against God to work evil. And yet the Lord is not willing that any of them should perish. So they're his enemies. They have taken a position of enmity against God. He will not adopt the same position against them. We could make a list. The list is getting longer of things we see in our culture and our society that are so ungodly and so against God and so vile and so wicked and so disgusting. And I have to remind myself continually, the Lord doesn't want to give it back to them. He wants to save them out of it. He wants to save them from it. Is that my heart? This world it really is disgusting. It is vile. If there's anything the Bible says you're supposed to do, they're trying as hard as they can to do the opposite. You know what the Lord said? Go tell them. Go tell them I'll save their soul. Go tell them I'll forgive their sin. Go tell them I'll give them everlasting life. Go tell them I'll wash them in the blood of my son. Aren't you glad he doesn't become the enemy of people who are his enemies? And that's what he's calling on us to do. And he says, and ye should be children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. The identifying mark of being a child of God in these verses is not Bible memorization, though we should memorize our Bibles. It's kindness toward people who don't deserve it. Oh, that's tough, isn't it? That's really tough. But it shouldn't be. Shouldn't be. All right, Proverbs 31. Another passage we have looked at this summer. And we'll take another look there. Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs 31. And verse 10, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Verse 12, she'll do him good, not evil, all the days of her life. Come down to verse number 26. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. In her tongue is the law of kindness. Now, we have a very, we have a great relationship. My wife and I, we have a great relationship. We've been married 40 plus years. And I'm telling you, apart from Jesus and the Bible, there probably aren't five things we have in common. We're just completely different people. If there's a sign somewhere that says, do not cross, she'll stay 5 feet from it just to make sure nobody thinks she would even consider crossing that sign. And there's something in me that says, wonder what the other side says. Bet it don't say anything. And instinctively, I don't like being told what to do or what not to do. And instinctively, she's just, I wouldn't break a rule. I tell you what kind of person she is. She cleans the motel room before we check out so the maid will have an easier day. That's my wife. And I'm like, she's getting paid to do that. You're taking her job. We're just different people. Along those lines, here's what I intend to say. It's really just makes life safer if you just live by the law. There's enough trouble without stirring up extra trouble. And there's enough trouble in our lives without stirring up extra trouble. Why not make it a law? I'm not going to say anything that's unkind. When I go to church, I'm not going to say anything unkind. When I go home, I'm not going to say anything unkind. When I'm out witnessing, I'm not going to say anything unkind. When I'm at work, I'm not going to say anything unkind. You know what that does? That reduces the number of conflicts and strifes and problems that you're going to have in your life. Just make it a law and don't break that law. I'm going to be kind. And if there's two people in the flesh, it's a lot worse situation than if there's one person in the flesh trying to get both people in the flesh. Isn't that right? 1 Corinthians 7 talks about a relationship, and one's a believer and one's an unbeliever. And the Lord says, you know, the believer can sanctify the entire household if they just live right and do right by God. But if the believer starts acting like the unbeliever, then there's no chance of sanctifying the home or the situation or the relationship. Amen. It'd be nice if everybody's married to somebody who was godly and sold out and dedicated to Jesus Christ. But if you're in a relationship, and I don't know if any of you are, I've got nobody in mind right now to say this, but If you're in a relationship and one of you is saved and one of you is not, or one of you is living for the Lord and one of you is not, it's really important that your children can see the difference in the conduct between the two. If the lost person gets the saved person to act like the lost person, then your kids don't see any power of God in the home. If the one that says, I love Jesus, and the one that has no interest in Jesus treat each other the same, what are your children to think? Jesus doesn't have any power over anybody's life. So I'd say as the world gets more depraved, more self-centered, more cruel, kindness is a light that's going to shine brighter and brighter and brighter. People don't expect to be treated with kindness because it's such a rare thing. But it's not hard to do. It's as easy to be kind as is to be unkind, especially with the help of the Holy Spirit. So, brother, sister, next time in the home something happens that shouldn't happen, be kind. Be kind. Next time somebody rubs you the wrong way in the church house, be kind. You respond with kindness on the job, it'll stand out. People will notice it. Put a little power in your witness and give a little force to your testimony. And then like this, at the end of Proverbs 31, time's about up here, verse number 28 says, 28, I'm sorry, her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Now, if things aren't quite right in any of your relationships, wouldn't you like them to be turned around where the people with whom you're in a relationship begin to praise you and speak of your virtue and call you blessed? Wouldn't that be an amazing thing? Well, what causes that turnabout to happen? Kindness. Kindness. That's what happened with us, with the Lord. Isn't that amazing? He does have the power to throw people in hell, and he will, but it's not what he wants to do. And he does have the power to pour out his wrath upon people, and he will, but it's not what he wants to do. Kindness. Kindness, kindness, kindness. That's what brought us to Christ and what keeps us following Christ. And so let's allow him to work that in our hearts and in our lives. Amen. All right, Father, thank you for the Bible. Speak to us right where we live and where we walk. And I pray, Father, that you teach us all not to respond and lower ourselves to the level of those that aren't doing us right, but that you'd help us to rise up to where the Holy Spirit of God can take us, where Christ can take us, and to show God's kindness to others in all of our relationships. And we thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.